Welcome to Shoot First, Ask Questions Later, where we research the response of our past and review their relevance for today. This is your host, Moshe Kurtz. Welcome to another episode of Shoot First, Ask Questions Later. We have the privilege to be joined by Rabbi Shimshon Nadel, who will be talking about artificial intelligence and its implications for modern day psak halacha. Now, this is certainly a cutting edge topic, and it's a great example of what we try to do on the podcast, which is we look at the tshuvos, the responsa literature of the past, and figure out what it means for today. So we're going to be taking a look at a tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, Rav Moshe Feinstein and Igros Moshe, and also some insights from our shared Rebbe, Rav Tendler, Zichrona Livracha. Rav Shimshon Nadel lives and teaches in Yerushalayim, where he serves as Rabbi of Kehilat Zichron Yosef, Rosh Kolel of the Sinai Kolel, and Chovei Tzion's Kolo Boker, and lectures at the OU Center. His articles on Jewish law and history have appeared in Tchumen, Chakira, the Journal of Halach and Contemporary Society, Segula, Kol HaTorah, Kolmos, Makor Rishon, and Jerusalem Post, and the Jewish Press. He is also the author of Medina and Halacha, Exploring the Jewish State Through the Lens of Jewish Law, a popular weekly column looking at contemporary issues in Israel. A regular guest on Kol Yisrael and Kan, Rabbi Nadel offers up inspiration for the Israeli radio listening audience. And I can say many of us in America also benefit from your Torah. And thank you so much for joining us today. It means so much to have you on a professional and on a personal level with us on the podcast. And I really appreciate you being a Nachshon Ben Aminadav and trying to explore what is a cutting-edge topic of AI and its implications for the modern-day Jew and maybe even for humanity. So let's get into it. There's a lot of questions that get raised by AI. Maybe you could tell us specifically what kind of quandaries you're looking to explore in our session today.
First of all, Rav Moshe, it's a tremendous zchut to be on your podcast. As I've told you, I'm a fan, a big fan of what you're doing with this podcast. I think it's so vital, so interesting, so fresh and innovative. So thank you for having me. Look, you know, artificial intelligence and technology in general provide all sorts of new challenges that, you know, we could never in our wildest of imaginations have dreamt up. But our Torah is a Torah Chaim. That's something that our Rebbe, Rav Tendler Zatzal, taught us. It's a living, breathing tradition which engages the modern world and confronts its challenges and provides answers to complicated contemporary questions. So we need not be afraid of new technology. I personally, you know, am most interested in the use of artificial intelligence and specifically chatbots like ChatGPT, these large language learning models, as a rabbi, as a Rabbi Google, right? Before ChatGPT, there was Rabbi Google. People would Google their halachic inquiries or questions. And I gave a class a number of months ago when ChatGPT became available and everyone was fooling around with it and experimenting with it, called "Will Robots Replace Rabbis? Artificial Intelligence and Psak Halacha." And the question that I was interested in and still am interested in exploring is, you know, will we rabbis become obsolete? In other words, here you have a large language learning model, this chatbot, which has access to maybe the entire body of Jewish literature, the entire corpus of Jewish literature, all of what we call Shas and Poskim. And maybe we rabbis will become irrelevant, like, you know, other jobs may become obsolete, like you have with the Industrial Revolution and with any advancement in technology or industry. And really, it raises the larger question of, you know, what is the nature of psak halacha? And, you know, that's something that interests me. I'm sure as a Talmud of Rav Tendler, also interests you. He often spoke about klalei hora'ah, the rules of psak halacha, so to speak. It was something that very much interested him, you know, both as a posek And I think also as a scientist, and I think with his inquisitive mind, he was really just interested in sort of the rules and the methodology. And so, and I think, again, it raises a lot of questions of, the very nature of psak.
Right. So you're saying, if I understand correctly, if the idea is that there's just a huge corpus of data out there and all the information exists, could a computer in theory just scan, imagine it's like a super Otzer HaChachma or a super Bar Ilan program. It could scan all the data that's out there. And, this gets a really fundamental question about the human mind. Is the human mind really just a computer in the end of the day that we, obviously we have chemicals instead of computer hardware, but maybe it's the same principle that once you have a critical mass of information, you can make conceptual analogies. And is a computer doing fundamentally anything different than you and I are doing when we are looking at two different Gemaras or two different Sifim and Shulchan Aruch and comparing matters and seeing if there are analogies? That seems to be the heart of the question here.
Sure. And decades ago, there's a story, at least, I don't know if it's been substantiated, I don't know if it's true, I wasn't there, but at least there's this apocryphal tale that decades ago, they tested Rav Ovadia Yosef, who certainly had an encyclopedic mind. They tested him against the computer. And at the time, I don't know if it was the Bar Ilan response or some other database, and they entered some sort of search words, some sort of inquiry on a specific topic. And let's say the database spat out 25 tshuvot on the topic. Well, Rav Ovadia, with his encyclopedic mind, was able to cite 26, right? He beat the computer, wow. as Rabbi Rakefet often says. So, but maybe today, the computer has gotten better, right? Maybe today, a large language model has access to just everything that's ever been written on a specific topic. So do you even need a post-sake, or can you just go to your computer and enter in a question and get an answer?
Right? Yeah, and this is really not just a question for halacha. This is a question in the world of medicine as well. WebMD, people go online. Now that over there, that's just stagnant information. But it'd be very interesting. I wonder if people, instead of doing a telehealth where you have to find a time and then you have to get on a Zoom with the doctor, maybe you can just type it into a new upgraded version of WebMD to paskin your medical case based on what you're describing to them. It's almost the same kind of challenge, just in a different profession, I would think.
Right. And, right now it's not perfect. There was a case a number of months ago where an attorney in New York, I think he was filing a legal brief on behalf of his client, some sort of matter related to immigration law. And he used ChatGPT or some other chatbot to, be able to cite different precedents, case precedents. And it spat out things that never existed, but he didn't spend the time fact checking and going back and seeing if it's actually accurate or not. And I believe he was disciplined or in the process of being disciplined for something that he may lose his license to practice law. So right now, if it's chat GPT 4.0 or 4.5 or wherever it's at, it's not perfect, but it learns. And so, there will be a time where it will have access to all this information and may be able to accurately spit back information and give you an answer. But again, what is the very nature of psak? Is it merely just yidia, just knowledge, or is there something deeper? And that's what I'd like to discuss together with you.
So please, by all means. Yeah, okay. So where do we find this?
Right. So the first tshuva is actually not an obvious choice. It's not one of these landmark tshuvot of Rav Moshe. It's not some revolutionary psak that Rav Moshe is famous for. It's really a letter. It's a short letter to his grandson-in-law, Rav Shabtai HaKohen Rappaport, Rav Tendler's son-in-law, who lives in Beit Vagan. I know him very well. And Rav Tendler here, it's interesting, would cite this particular letter, and he even cites it, as I'll come to in a moment, in a book that he published a book that he published called Responsa of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Volume 1, Care of the Critically Ill, translated and annotated by Rav Moshe David Tendler. It was published by Ktav. It was published, I can give you the date, it was published here.
You can send me the information. I'll put it
absolutely
in the description.
1996. It was published in 1996. And it's interesting. Rav Tendler actually publishes a letter that Rav Moshe writes to him about this particular tshuva, where Rav Moshe admits that initially he never intended to publish it. As I said, it's a short little letter. It's not the most obvious choice. It appears in Igrot Moshe, Yoredeya Chelek Gimel, the third volume of Yoredeya, Simon Tzadi Aleph, 91. And he's writing how he's all upset. Rav Moshe was very upset as he's heard that there's someone who's translating his Piske Halacha into English. And even if he writes that it's an accurate translation or a faithful translation of his Tshuvot, what bothers Rav Moshe is that he has failed to include all of the analysis, all of the methodology, all of the sources in the tshuva. Instead, they're just printing the bottom line. They're just printing the final halacha lemaaseh, the final psak halacha, the final verdict, without including all of the analysis, which for Rav Moshe is very dangerous, because people can apply someone who doesn't know any better. He writes someone who's not a Talmid Chacham, someone who's not a Torah scholar, can come to apply, you know, this tshuva, this answer to a case that, you know, maybe is not really related or not really similar.
If I could just let me just read that line there. It says at the end that v'gam lahatik hatshuvos mamish patshu chesaron gadol, that this would be a terrible thing, litein habsakim le'inshi da'alma, to just give over the bottom line to all, you know, just the general population, she'em talmidei chachamim, or not necessarily well-versed, or not Torah scholars, per se, she'evo l'damos milsa l'milsa, and they're going to come and say, oh, if it's mutter to do X, it's mutter to do Y, but they don't understand, like you're saying, the rationale of how Rav Moshe got to his conclusion,
exactly.
And that becomes dangerous.
Right. They may compare it to some other case which is not related. They may apply it too broadly. And, you know, this is something that's articulated in the introduction to the Igrot Moshe, where Rav Moshe writes that he was hesitant to publish his Psak Halacha. He almost has to justify it, because he writes that the fear is people can always distort or misinterpret or apply them too broadly. But for Rav Moshe, in the introduction to Igrot Moshe, his defense or justification in publishing first is the fact that the Torah itself gives the authority to the posek. But he really writes that the essence of his tshuvot are the analysis, right? That's his defense in publishing. It's his methodology. It's how he came to that conclusion. And that really is, of course, the brilliance of his tshuvot. And that's what we are to learn from, not just to take the bottom line and run with it or apply it to other cases. That's the fear here. Now, it's interesting.
So before you jump into, I could already start to see where you're going with the artificial intelligence argument, but before you articulate that, just to clarify, he's not critiquing that book of Rav Tendler that you just mentioned.
No, right? Just the opposite. So
okay.
it would seem Rav Tendler did just that, right? Rav Tendler took tshuvot from the Igrot Moshe on topics of medical halacha, you know, serious issues, critical issues like defining the moment of death, establishing the time of death, and all sorts of end of life issues. And what he did was he translated them into English, which exactly is what Rav Moshe is warning against here. The difference is that he, of course, got permission from his father-in-law. So in his introduction, Rav Tendler includes a letter from his father-in-law where he mentions this tshuva that we just mentioned, that's published in the third volume of the Yoredeya in Siman Tzadi Aleph, 91. And he writes that he initially had intended not to include it in Igrot Moshe, but he was really concerned, again, about people using his tshuvot without including the references, the citations, the reasoning, how he got to his conclusions. And he gave permission to his son-in-law, Rav Tendler, in order to translate some very vital tshuvot on the topic of medical halacha, and do so faithfully. And Rav Tendler does just that, and he includes the analysis, and he includes, the methodology and how Rav Moshe reached his conclusions. But here, exactly as you are suggesting, Rav Tendler had to sort of, justify or apologize for or defend the fact that he is doing exactly what his beloved father-in-law, his saintly father-in-law, was very much concerned about, very much afraid of. And the reason why I thought this was a good place to start and to frame our conversation or discussion of artificial intelligence and Psak Halacha is because, here what emerges from this tshuva, this very short, maybe not the most obvious choice, this not the most famous or revolutionary of tshuva, but what emerges is that Psak is personal. Psak is personal. No two cases are alike. And so, yes, you may have a language learning model, a chatbot that has access to the entire corpus of Jewish literature, all of Shas and Poskim, right? The Talmud's Bavli and Yerushalmi and all the codes of Jewish law, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and all the Nosei Kelim, all the commentaries on the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and all the Tshuvot, all the response literature. But there's a big difference between information and the application of that information. You have to be able to apply it to the situation. And that was Rav Moshe's concern, that someone may take, just the very last line of his tshuva, his maskana, his final psak halacha, his final analysis, and just leave out the rest and apply it too broadly and apply it to a case where it doesn't really apply. And so, Rav Tendler always emphasized the importance of what many call the fifth chelek of Shulchan Aruch. The fifth volume of the Code of Jewish Law, which is Seichel, common sense. So yes, a robot may have access to all of this information, but it lacks that common sense. And it also lacks that sensitivity, that emotional intelligence, which is so important in Psak Halacha, which you see in many of the tshuvot of Rav Moshe, which I certainly saw with my own eyes in many of the Piskei Halacha of Rav Tendler. When he would take me down into his office and he would have me listen in on conversations after shiur, he would call people back and he would want to include me so that I should learn in how he answered a question. And he did so with such sensitivity. Before you hit the record button, we were talking about how Rav Tendler could often be very fiery. He was tough. He had a reputation for being very tough. And I told you that I believe he lived the pasuk that the Torah charges the Dayan, lo taguru mipnei ish, you shall not fear or cower to any man. Right? He was not afraid of anyone and came across sometimes as being very tough. But as a posek and as a Rebbe, he was very sensitive and addressed all of these questions with tremendous sensitivity. But I think it's so important that, yes, you may be able to find information on Google. You may be able to find information by consulting ChatGPT, but only a posek, only someone who, can hold your hand and look you in your eyes, can give you the answer that's appropriate for you.
Right. So this is, if I'm understanding correctly, the distinction is that a posek, unlike artificial intelligence, at least nowadays, well, maybe we'll talk about what happens in the future, that a posek is able to understand the individualized needs and not just make a general psak, which is something that you would probably get from a computer-generated program that you could, and there's also, I assume, a certain level, maybe even of intuition. One might even, if you're particularly mystical, you might say even Ruach HaKodesh. That's something that that an individual, that a great Rav could possess. I guess the question I would wonder is that if one doesn't subscribe to a more mystical approach to Psak, I think we alluded to this earlier, that artificial intelligence, like that lawyer who needed to write a brief or whatever it was, and he had the AI do it for him, which I think, by the way, my brother-in-law's law firm had to then defend him afterwards, and they had to be the lawyers for him. So there, that's just because AI is still relatively new and it's still limited. But what would happen one day if AI did get to that critical mass where it was able to not just spit back information, but even provide actual analysis? And I think, by the way, this is a little bit sci-fi, but I think neuroscientists are dealing with this question right now, which is, what fundamentally makes a human being different than a computer. So one thing we have is that we have consciousness, we have self-awareness. But I think there's like a school of thought, and just my general Balabhatish understanding of the neuroscientific field, which is very minimal, that there's a theory out there that when a certain being reaches a certain critical mass of intelligence, it gains sentience at that point. So this is an interesting question theologically, because maybe not. Maybe that's where the neshama comes in.
Look, I think there are many other reasons why, you know, we rabbis don't have to worry about becoming obsolete or irrelevant. But I think you're right that with time, it may advance to the point where it will know how to apply it to different situations. And you can sort of plug in, you know, exactly what the situation is. So maybe this concern of applying Psak Halacha too broadly, you know, maybe, okay, at a certain point, artificial intelligence will evolve to where it knows exactly, you know, the case and exactly how to apply the case. But I still think that, again, you know, that fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch, seichel, common sense, emotional intelligence, which I don't think a computer or a robot or a machine can ever really possess. You know, your stories of how Shlomo Zalman Auerbach would hesitate to give a psak over the phone because he wanted to look people in the eye. Mm. Or stories of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and how, you know, people would come to him and, you know, one woman would come in Erev Shabbat with a chicken and he would say, treif. Another woman would come in with a chicken, same issue. And he would say, mutar, you can eat it, right? And so his student asked, you know, it's the same issue, right? Why, for the first lady, you said it was not kosher, she may not eat it. Then the second, you said it's permissible for her to eat it. And the answer is, well, you know, the first lady, you know, I knew where she lived. She's, you know, very wealthy. She comes from this very wealthy neighborhood. She's a very wealthy woman. The second lady, Nebuch, she's, you know, very poor. She can't afford to be machmir. Okay, so I don't know that a machine will ever really, again, be able to address the individual's needs and have that emotional intelligence. Or the famous story of the Beit HaLevi, where Erev Pesach, someone came and asked if they could use milk for the Arba Kosot, for the four cups of wine at the Pesach Seder. And instead of giving an answer, according to the story, he goes in the house and he takes some money and gives the person some money. And his Rebbetzin said, well, you know, why didn't you answer? Why did you give some money? So he said, well, you know, if he's asking about using milk for the four cups, obviously he doesn't have matzah or chicken or chveiz, matzah ball soup or whatever else you need at the Seder. So I don't know that, you know, even as these chatbots or as artificial intelligence becomes more and more advanced, I don't know that they will really ever possess that emotional intelligence. And then there is this other element you already alluded to, maybe we can call it a sort of a mystical component. And that is that, you know, Chazal in many places will invoke the pasuk from Tehillim Chaf Aleph, Sod Hashem Lireyav, the secret of Hashem is for those who fear him. So there is this idea, and you find in a number of places, the Gemara in Sota and Sanhedrin and Chagiga and Nida, Ketubot, that somehow a posek is endowed with, I don't know if I would call it Ruach HaKodesh, I don't know if I would go that far, but certainly Siyata Dishmaya, divine assistance. You see, also the Ramban articulates this to his in his Perush Al HaTorah. We have other sources that seem to indicate that a posek is endowed or imbued with some sort of divine assistance. Now, it's interesting, Rav Tendler, he was a rationalist. He was a scientist, and he approached learning like a scientist with that same critical thinking. He was a real litvak. He didn't have much patience for superstitions or mystical thinking, magical thinking. Yet there was a story that appears in the Tshuvot of the Chatam Sofer that he would love to quote. And this is a tshuva in Chelek Yoredeya, Chelek Bed of the Tshuvot of Chatam Sofer, Siman Tzadi Dalid, 94. There, the Chatam Sofer is discussing a case where an animal, a rodent, fell into some fat or something. And he quotes a famous story that happened in Frankfurt. He begins by saying it's this well-known story that happened in Frankfurt when once a chicken flew into a vat of boiling butter and died. And the rabbi at the time ruled, he was asked, you know, what can we do with it? Can we sell it? Right. So obviously it was a very large vat of butter. Maybe they were using it commercially. And all of a sudden the chicken flies and dies. And they ask, what can we do with it? And the rabbi ruled that the butter is prohibited even for non-Jews, as it is basar b'chalav. It's milk and meat, and one may not derive any benefit from it. There's an isur hana'ah, even by selling it to a non-Jew. Now, that was the answer he gave. It's asur to sell it to Gentiles because of basar b'chalav. Now, we know that poultry, fowl, is not basar b'chalav. It's only rabbinically prohibited, right? So the way Rav Tendler would tell the story over, the way he would formulate it, this is not exactly how it appears in the tshuva, although the way Rebbe would embellish it, he would say, oh, it was the new rabbi. It's sort of this new rabbi, new hire in town. He gave them this psak, and the people are all scratching their heads, right? And according to the story, they spilled out the butter, but the people told him that there is no prohibition to benefit from poultry and dairy. It could have been sold to a non-Jew. In other words, it's not basar b'chalav, as the rabbi had said. And so the story continues that just then, the lashon of the tshuva is toch kidei dibur. Just then he realized that, oh, okay, fine. Yes, it's not basar b'chalav. But since the chicken was alive when it entered the vat of hot butter, it's ever min hachai. One of the seven Noahide laws that non-Jews must also observe. And so even though his initial reasoning was incorrect, his conclusion was correct. Right? The butter was prohibited for non-Jews as well. So indeed, the Jewish community was not able to sell that of butter to non-Jews. They were not able to sell it. So in other words, even though his svara was wrong, right? The bottom line, his maskana was correct. His final psak was correct. So the Chatam Sofer concludes, he cites a pasuk from Kohelet and a pasuk from Mishle, that even when an error issues forth from the ruler, that's the pasuk from Kohelet, chapter 10, no harm befalls the righteous. That's the pasuk from Mishle, chapter 12, Perek Yud Bet. And he says that Hashem sent him reply to save him from shame. That's the lashon, the language of the Chatam Sofer in this tshuva. And as I said, Rav Moshe loved to share this tshuva. He loved to cite this story. And even though he was a real litvak and didn't have time or patience for superstitions or these types of things, you know, he recognized that in his words, if a posek does his homework, and he would always emphasize to us students, to his talmidim, that we have to do our homework. He wanted us to be both competent and confident in rendering psak halacha. He would often quote the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed, "Vishinantam levanecha." Vishinantam, right, can imply something which is sharp, right? And the Gemara there says you should be sharp. The words of Torah should be sharp in your mouth, so that if someone asks you something, they ask you a halachic question, "Al tegamgein v'tomarlo, ela emor lo miyad." Don't stutter, don't stammer, right? Don't fumfer, as they say in Yiddish, but give him an answer. Answer him immediately. So he wanted his Talmidim to be both competent and confident in answering a Shaila, a question of Jewish law. And he loved this story because he felt that, yeah, if the Posek does his homework, right? So then Hashem will bless him. Hashem will provide him with divine assistance, give him Siyata Dishmaya. Right, and if you still don't know the answer, Rav Tendler says you can call me.
So I think
you would often share. It's a famous story. Everyone knows this, that at the Chag HaSmicha, Rav Soloveitchik would often say, "Look, I'm signing your klaf. I'm signing your teudah, your certification here on the front, and on the back, I'm writing Rav Moshe Feinstein's phone number." Right, so Rav Tendler often was very accessible. He wanted us to do our homework. He wanted us to be competent and also confident. He was very critical of, those who learned for years in yeshiva and kollel. And then when he asked them, how to make a cup of tea, on Shabbat. Well, I don't know. I don't want to paskin.
Right. You have to learn to the point that you're confident that you could actually do something with that information. Now, as we're kind of in our last few minutes, I think you already answered a question I was thinking about, and you'll tell me if you would agree with this analysis. Many times, I think we're Soloveitchik and others talked about whether Talmudic study and the study of halacha is more akin to a science or to an art. And so, you know, if it's just strictly science, then I think we run back to our question about why are we better than artificial intelligence? If you say it's an art, then I think there's maybe more to discuss. But I was just thinking about Lahavdil Alpi Avdalis. I was thinking about the in America, the screenwriters at Hollywood. They're unionized, and they again Lahavdil. That they were fighting for their rights, and one of the things they were arguing against their employers was that they shouldn't become obsolete once AI can start writing scripts as well. And now, but I think. Even Intim Salomar, you want to say that Talmud Torah is an art. It's and an art, even an art could be mimicked and can be copied by AI. I think like what you just articulated is that we have something over the screenwriters. And again, I'm just putting in my little footnote over there. Maybe it would have been better had the screenwriters not gotten back to work based on everything they're putting out these days. It maybe was a better period for us, putting that on the side. But we have... or a poskim, I should say, have the siyata dishmaya that even Rebbe was willing to bring within his framework of halachic practice. And so even Absolutely. If you want to say AI can copy art, and it does copy art nowadays, it has figured
Very
out how
well.
To do that. We Thanks. Still have something unique that that makes Talmud Torah and the halachic process distinct from other kinds of art or sciences. Would you agree
Absolutely.
With that?
Absolutely. Look, first of all, I think Psak Halacha is both a science and an art, right? You have to approach it with that kind of scientific thinking, critical thinking, but again, being able to apply it to the individual and to the individual's needs, and maybe it's the community's needs, to the unique circumstances, to the merits of the case, and that is an art. That is that fit chelek of Shulchan Aruch, that's that seichel, that know-how. We all know great Talmidei Chachamim who are not poskim because maybe on the one hand they have access to that information like artificial intelligence does, but somehow they have a difficulty in applying it lemaisa, as you say in the yeshiva, right? Again, you know, psak is personal. It needs that personal touch. It needs also a sensitivity, I said, an emotional intelligence. I often formulate it as, you know, you have to be sensitive to people and their needs and sensitive to halacha. And that's that balance. That's that tightrope, that poskim walk. You know, that's that fine line. On the one hand, being sensitive to people and their needs, and on the other hand, being sensitive to halacha and not compromising either. And it's really a balance. It's really a tightrope walk. It's a dance. It's an art, as you said. I think you are very apt in describing it as both a science and an art. And look, we believe that the posek, who, in the words of Rav Tendler, does his homework, is invested with a certain siyata deshmaya, with divine assistance.
Absolutely.
Which I don't think, if I wasn't clear before, I don't think a chatbot can possess. I don't think, you know, artificial intelligence can possess. Although, who knows?
Who knows? Do you, just in our 1 minute left, and this has been really fantastic. And again, kudos to you, Shkoyach, for being a Nachshon and Aminadav and really trying to reckon with these new developments with our Masorah. Do you find just in our maybe... You can answer this question, and if you have any other concluding thoughts in our minute that we have left, do you find, are there any still like unanswered questions, any terrain or frontiers of AI that maybe we don't have such a clear answer to, we're not so confident about as of yet, as to how halacha or Judaism approaches it?
I'm really not an expert on artificial intelligence. You'd have to be more specific. I, uh, You know, I'm the first one to admit ignorance on the topic. I've done
we
a
could
little
ask all sorts of fun things. You,
I've
you
done
know,
a
we
little
could ask
discovery
questions about
and
AI
well,
counting toward a mini. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously not. I would think obviously not, but who am I? Who am I to say that?
What I will say to its benefit, at least so far, it seems to be pretty balanced. It recognizes when I've played with AI and I've asked it some difficult questions of halacha and some simple questions of halacha, you know, some things that are straight out of the Shulchan Aruch, you know, it does a pretty good job of, you know, citing some sources, although sometimes it makes mistakes, but it scours the internet and is able to cite sources and has access to all this information. But it does a pretty good job of being somewhat fair and balanced, and it recognizes its own limitations. And it will, you know, sometimes end by saying, this is a serious matter. You consult your local rabbi, right? I don't know if it says Orthodox rabbi, but
if only we could learn from that sense of humility that AI is exhibiting. If only human beings like me were able to admit what my limits are, maybe there's something that even I'll speak for myself that I could learn from AI. I mean, of course, there's the million cases where AI gives you something that's inaccurate, but it's nice to see it exhibit some humility and limitations every now and then. And that's something for me to recognize. It's a good musr for us. And Ryan Adel, I want to thank you.
And that's something, if I could just interject it, and that's something that a posek needs too, a sense of humility, recognizing when you don't know the answer.
100%. Right?
Hopefully you know where to look for the answer. Or who to ask for the answer, who to reach out to.
I would hope so. Otherwise, you could always turn to AI, right? Ryan Adel, thank you so much. And again, this means so much, not just on a professional level to have you with us, but also personally, just getting to hear about your connection and what you've learned from Rebbe Zichrona Livracha. I was only with him during the final years, but you're with him for much longer. And thank you so much for your time. And thank you for sharing your ideas with our listeners. And of course, to our listeners, if you have any ideas about AI, anything that maybe you think could be addressed in the future that maybe we didn't touch on, by all means, send us a letter to the editor. We'd love to feature your ideas in future episodes. Thank you so much, Ryan Adel, and wishing you and everyone in Eretz Yisrael much strength.
Amen. Amen. B'sorot tovot, yishuot v'nechamot. Thank you again for the opportunity.
Amen. Take care. Thank you for listening to Shoot First, Ask Questions Later. Please make sure to subscribe to get the latest updates. And if you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate us and leave a review. Do you have a response to the response that you want to share on the show? Please send your letter to the editor to MitchellMKurtz@gmail.com. And God willing, we would love to consider your perspective to be shared on a future episode. This is Moshe Kurtz, and I look forward to reviewing more responses with you next time on Shoot First, Ask Questions Later.